has joined. Has joined.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the first to arrive?
I think so.
Anka's here as well.
Okay. I'm glad to know both of you are here, so we can begin. So please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa, Yadula Chimincha, Tati Terra, Alephet Gimel, Yutat Sadi, Kabil Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Aharenu, Nora, Kufrey Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dor, Dorshe Yehudha, Kivavat Gamlein, Yudkashin, Kaf Yud Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sitkacha Tamid Gamle Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Hasin Kadosh Bero Tuvcha Nael Adata Ket Kufet Tet Nunayan Yahid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelam Ezayan Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzi Akatenu Yodea Talubot Shin Kufal Sadi Yuta. In the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. Our class today is the Sefer Yetzirah. You will find the handout in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 9. The second column from the left. When that opens up, it's a landing page for all of the Sefer Yetzirah classes. Scroll down to class 13. And where that handout opens up is our class today, which is Pasuk 1, chapter 1, verse 12. And that's in the Ramak, while in the Kaplan version, which many people utilize, it's the 13th verse. We will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kut Shabarichu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urkimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urkimu, Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe Bavavhe, The Yehuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah mitzvah, Lasok Torah mitzvah, Vayehino Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu, Kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadenu, Kunenehu. Pasuk, chapter 1, verse 12. Arba'esh mimayim hatak v'chatsiva, Vahem kisei hakavod, Weofanim v'serafim, v'chayot hakodesh, v'malachi hastaret, v'kol tziva marom, v'meshlashtim, yisod mion normal, the traditional translation, the number four, fire from water. With it he engraved and carved the throne of glory. The seraphim, the ofanim, and the holy chayot, and the ministering angels. From the three of them he founded his dwelling place. As it is written, he makes his angels of brass, his ministers of flaming fire. This is Psalm 104, verse 4. Now let's try and understand what's being said here. The number four, is it the fourth Sephirah, or is it the fourth Harsufim? Do we know the difference? A Harsufim is a structure of 10 Sephirot. It's referred to as a face. Chesed is the fourth Sephirah. Why not dot? The fourth Harsufim is Zeranpin. So let me kind of explain all of that. If you count from Keter, you have one is Keter, two is Chachma, three is Bina, and four is Chesed. So we understand why Chesed is the fourth Sephirah. But if we're talking about Parsufim, we're talking about structures of 10 Sephirot. We're talking about one is Arichanpin, two is Abba, three is Ima, and four is Zeranpin. We ask the question, why isn't it dots? And the answer is, from the first pasuk, it tells us there are 10 sephirot, not 11. So while we know that there is a tool to balance Chachma and Bina, and that tool is dots, dot is not a true sephirah. And since it's not a true sephirah, it cannot be a true parsufim or parsu. I'm continuing. The next part of the verse is fire from water. Physical matter is only in our physical universe. So what is the meaning spiritually of fire from water? Water is chesed, fire is gevurah. Gevurah is manifested from water. Gevurah is manifested from chesed. How does that happen? Because each item creates its own limitations, just as we create our limitations. Yes, the parting of the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, allows us to break those limitations. But those limitations come from the creations that we make. It's a spiritual law. What you create within that creation is a limitation, so that the creation does not grow unimpeded. Now let us continue to read. There are four worlds, Atzimut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And these translate as emanation, creation, formation, and action. These are all metaphors, all of their definitions as well. Another metaphor, there is a spiritual level, an unconscious level, a concealed level, a mind that is detached thought, personified emotions, feelings which are ruchot or winds, races of angels, and manifestation, our physical universe. An additional metaphor is the four letters of the name Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav. As an advanced Kabbalah student, it is good to learn the various metaphors and why the Kabbalists use them. Also, why is there a need for different metaphors, and what are the differences? There are races of angels that fit each of the four worlds. Each of the races relate to the metaphor of the world, of the physical world. When you cross over in your meditations, you need to know what is the source of the entities that you meet. Our universes are very crowded. Some want your life force and have permission to take it. Some want to assist you in exchange for life force energy. Some want to assist you. In this frame of existence, what you see is what you project, not what is a true representation of what you are perceiving. An angel in Hebrew is a malach, or malachim in plural. Malach translates as either an angel or a messenger. How do we understand an angel being a messenger? Because it is doing a specific task, and therefore an angel is a messenger while it is doing that task. When the task is over, sometimes it just ends, it dies. Sometimes it just goes back to where it came from and continues to do its own personal work, its own life. But when it's given a task from the Creator, it's the name of the Creator is attached to it. And so we have names for angels. And depending on which name is being used, it tells us which sephirah it is coming from. What is its source? There are different words used in the Torah for angels. They are called seraph, which means the fiery one. Ofanim, which means a wheel. Chayot, a living being. Cherub, babies. These words are descriptive and describe specific levels of consciousness and specific tasks and specific worlds. Ofanim means wheels. Chayot means living. Seraph describes fiery. How do you think this relates to the metaphors that this pasuk, this Mishnah, is using? A specific name of an angel is describing its race and the task, and sometimes Hashem allows his name to be used in certain cases, providing additional energy to that angel to complete his task. Look at the names of the angels of the day that we use in the Ana Bekoah. It will help you understand this paragraph. Continuing, fire comes from water. What is the meaning? The metaphor of fire from water is gasoline. It is a liquid like water, but it becomes energy like fire. And this is the creative process for an angel. Akak b'chatzicha. Engraving and carving. Engraving, akak, is the thoughts in our minds. While carving, chatzicha, is excluding any other interference with that thought. The engraving, or the carving, the chatzikah, is to create a moat around your thought creating a space where your thought can exist and not be disturbed and thrown out by another thought. What does meditation have to do with the creation of the angels, or of us, or of creating a golem? Heavens and earth. What and where are heavens? Hashem put the higher waters above the firmament. Yetzirah is actually heavens. Heaven and earth are two parallel dimensions which run opposite to each other. Can I be in heaven while on earth? Remember, Zerampin is male and a brother to Malchut, which is female, and a sister. Astral projection, is that creation? Is that an angel? Does that impose our thoughts on the physical world? And this Mishnah says that we are imposing our thoughts on the spiritual worlds as well. The Mishnah says these terms are names of races of angels. The throne of glory. This is the world of Briah. It is a seat, a throne for the world of Atzilut. Yofanim, we explained, was a wheel. The idea of a wheel is a circle. You go down and then you come back up, and then you go down and then you come back. It's all part of the cycle of life. The Seraph can be a burning, a fire, or it can be reptilian. Reptilian is a term that comes from chapter 6 of the Sefer Yetzirah, and we will discuss it when we get there. The chayot, the living animals, we know from the prophecies that we, Elijah and then Elisha, they saw animals. They saw a lion. They saw an ox. They saw an eagle. Although the word for eagle is nesher, and there's some dispute as whether it's an eagle or a vulture, because in the land of Israel, there never was a living eagle, but there were vultures. But the chayot have four levels. They have that of man, Adam, that of the shore, which is an ox, that of the Aryeh, which is a lion, and Nesher, which is the eagle or the vulture. Malachei Asharet, angels of service, or ministering angels, or archangels. On High Armies is another translation of Malachei Asharet. Or High Armies is another translation. In all of these different levels, Ofanim, Seraph, Chayot, what is the meaning? How do the meanings change? These are things to contemplate. This is part of your homework. The balance of the translation from Psalm 104, verse 4. Haseh malachav ruchot misharitav esh lachet. Who makes winds? Thy messengers, the flaming fire, thy ministers. This is the translation of this phrase from Psalm 104, verse 4. Science has defined something called dark matter. They call it dark because they have no instruments that can sense it. Torah tradition says there are other dimensions and worlds in the dark matter. This is just different terminology. The Yetziratic plane, world of Olam Yetzirah, is subjected to the plane of Asiya. The Bereatic plane is subjected to the plane of Asiya also. These three worlds, these three planes, are included in the dark matter. There were races of angels created on the second day, connecting to Giburah, the fifth day, connecting to Hod, and the seventh day, connecting to Shabbat. Some of the races of angels are billions of years old, much older than man. The angels' technology is greater and more psychic than ours, as we are considered still children by the universe and all of these angels. Yet we must grow through the experience with these entities. They come, they are given tasks of teaching us. Let's discuss the angels, which are really races of angels. Are there subsets like that we have in the humans? We have Negro and Caucasian and Oriental. Do you think the races of angels have different subsets? The Asiatic realm is the world of Asiya. The angels are the Ofanim. And in other places, as we get into the Sefer Yetzirah, they will be called watchers, as they are in the book of Daniel. The Yetziratic realm, Olam Yetzirah, is described as chayot, living beings. And the Bereatic realm is seraphim, the race of angels that are fiery. There are other levels of angels. There's angels of service from this Mishnah. Where do these other levels come from? Where do they live? Are they only spiritual, or are they also physical, living in our universe, our physical universe, in a different world? These are questions that you need to contemplate. These are questions that you need to struggle with to find your answer for you. There are techniques to contact the malachim, the angels, the messengers. And the techniques are used by the angels. And we will discuss these techniques. We will teach these techniques. But you have to know that the techniques exist. In Kaplan's book, he provides a caution, something to be concerned about. He says the fire is not the great fire, but something less. It is Yetzirah of Asiya. It is not Yetzirah above Asiya. There are lists of angels with many names and many duties. The wrong.
Oh, I see the pepper spray. Suddenly,
so,
your mouth is on fire.
Yeah, wait.
Sorry for that interruption. There are lists of angels with many names and duties and other metaphors. Rambam says there are 10 races of angels. There are 10 lists of angels. These are confirmed by the Zohar, and there is no other place in our textual history that confirms this. Is this two different people confirming this, or did the Rambam know the Zohar? The races of angels by name. The Chayot, the Ofanim, the Eralim, the Chazmalim, the Seraphim, the Malachim. Elohim is the name of God, but it's also a race of angels. B'nei Elohim. Cherubim, also known as the Cherub. Ishim. The order that I listed them is not necessarily the correct order. It's not coming from top down. It's not going from bottom up. These are just names of the races of angels. There are many opinions as to what is the correct order. These are names that apply to the positive side. There are equivalent races of negative angels, or do we call them demons? Learn clearly. There is communication among the Sephirot. A Tiferet of Malchut and a Tiferet itself are similar. They are communicating on one level or another. There is a service that keeps them in communication and within certain parameters. This service is the angels. The throne of glory is Bariatic, meaning the world of Briah. The throne of glory has four legs. The throne of glory has six paths that come from the four legs. The word kos, kisei, throne, is also a cup. It represents a vessel supporting something. Each world supports the world above it. Each world is a throne or a cup or a chair for the world above it. Each kisei, each throne, has a meaning. The thrones have different groups to service it. And this comes from the Zohar. The groups that service are called angels if they're positive, demons if they're not. The dark angels are called Kana'ani, like the people who lived in Canaan. And their job is to hinder the other groups of servants. The Seraphim is either a burning angel or a reptile. According to our modern myths, it speaks of reptiles and coming from the world of Briah. The Chayot, the living angels or animals, is Yetzirah. The Ofanim, the wheels, comes from the world of Asiyah. Creation is done through the power of mind. Know who you let into your mind. Our higher selves are Bariatic. It is the level of soul called Neshama. Remember, Neshama comes into our bodies, so the level of Bariatic comes into our bodies. Science teaches that there are three levels of human brain. There's the vegetable, the reptile, and the human. Kabbalah calls them Asiyah, Yetzirah, and Bria. When our neshama comes into our body, we are able to actually go to the worlds of Bria in the world of Asiyah. But to go to Bria of Yetzirah, we must transform ourselves through Kedusha, through mitzvot, through cleansing and purifying, and other aspects associated with the mitzvot. We will no longer be human beings when we do that growth, that spiritual growth. There have been people throughout history to accomplish this. Hanoch ben Yared is one. He was the person in the Torah who walked with God. Eliyahu Hanavi is another. He represents an angel, but not just one angel. He could be many. Yehuda Hanasi, mentioned in the Talmud, is another. Do you want to become this angel? It's a question you need to contemplate and ask yourself. Chayot, the animals, have four faces and 16 wings. Can you imagine an angel of 16 wings? There is a relationship between these levels. Our higher selves are our mazel, which is a teaching from the Vilna Gaon. In the Sefer Yetzirah, the sixth chapter refers to the Tali, the dragons. But some of the writers say it's not a living being, the dragons. It's this Milky Way, that the negative system resides in the Milky Way because it appears so beautiful to us when we can see it, and it attracts our eyesight. So they say that that's the negative system. And we need to be careful not to go there. My teacher says that the Tali are the dragons, the watchers. And Kaplan quotes a discussion from a book on the chariot that says the Tali are reptilian humanoids who know the secrets of creation and other secrets and have permission to give these to humans. In exchange for what? Kaplan says they are in a particular place called Bilon, which my teacher says is the middle point between normal space and dark matter. Kaplan says the Tali are kings of space, but not part of space. Other words for the same thing, Kaplan says the Tali are spiritual beings who are lowered to the physical and interact with the physical. My teacher says that the Tali are the watchers from the book of Daniel. The Tali are reptilian beings, and they have a relationship to the seraphim, the fiery angels. Can you explain what it is? I'll give you a hint. The Tali, being a fiery angel, represents the serpent whose poison stings, burns as it enters a human body. These words from the Mishnah, Tali, Malachi, Ruchot, Saritav, Maron, Esh, Chayot, and Ofanim, these are what you will encounter. Plus, there are others. And look at the psalm that is quoted. Osei malachav, ruchot, b'sharativ, esh lahat. Who makes the winds, thy messengers, the flaming fire, thy ministers? to explain more would take a number of classes. You need to experience them. If there is enough interest, I will develop a class on angels. The Daily Zohar has put together a very short, I think it's 10, 12 minutes, a short video of angels, of the names of angels. Angels make it easy to forget Hashem. And then when you connect to the angel as the creator, and he or they or it is not, you forget about the creator when you connect to the angels. What does the astrology have to do with this Mishnah? Astrology originally came from the angels, as they are the inner essence of the stars and planets. Each is given a job to do of service. Avodah, work, prayer, service in Hebrew. Ours is to serve others while on this physical planet, and then to learn to serve the universe when we travel outside of our physical minds or world. When we meditate and learn to use the astrological systems while we travel into with ourselves and within other dimensions and worlds, we are preparing ourselves for our future control of these influences and these natural, which are really supernatural laws. Because that is natural law in the spiritual planes. What you observe allows you to deduce the spiritual laws that they follow and relate it to the physical laws that we know. Most Western astrologers are using the chart as a mechanism to connect to their intuition. There is much more than this in Hebrew astrology. And when someone does not recognize that, this is what is happening. They are not using astrology as a tool as it is meant to be used. That's the end of the class. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I had a question, but it was answered about the animal worlds and if they have a group of angels over them, and you stated that there was, and I have 16 wings. My question is, in creation, when God made the creation, what animal was created first? And I ask that question because of the ram that was used for Isaac's sacrifice. And it says that the ram was made from ancient times. But I'm not sure if that, and that's where my question streams from.
Your question is clear. There are 7 items that were created before our physical universe. What that means is that they have control of some aspect of our physical universe. The 2 items that I remember, or 3 items actually, one was the ram that was used as a sacrifice for Isaac. One was the mule, the talk built that for Bilam, was Bilam's talking mule. And another item was Teshuvah, was created in advance of our physical world so that we can correct the mistakes that we make. There are 4 other items, and I read them a couple of times that my memory doesn't bring them up right now. and I don't remember where I read them, but they are all, that's basically from a Midrash. So what is the truth of the Midrash? We mentioned this the other day. You need to reconcile the Midrashim to understand it. Now, your question is, what was created first? Were they animals? But if you follow the order of creation in the days, what was first created was heavens and earth, followed by water, which was separated, followed by the next day that unified the separation, followed by the physical sun and moon, followed by plants, followed by animals, and finally on the sixth day, man. But the Talmud teaches us that man was created first, because man was the thought. Hashem's thought of creation was mankind. But to get to mankind, he needed to go through this process of the 7 days. Or as Rabbi Ashlag teaches, the 4 phases of creation. So to answer your question, which animal is created first, we have to know, are you asking about the thought of Hashem? Or are you talking about the physical manifestation of the creation? Because as chapter 1 of Genesis goes from the inanimate objects of light, which is very a spiritual thing, to the last verse or the first verse in chapter 2, which is a man, the creation of man. So are you going from the inanimate to mankind? Is that your creative process? Or are you starting with the mankind and then going down to the inanimate? Both directions are correct, because on one level, it's direct light from top to bottom. On another level, it's returning light from bottom to top. So I know that isn't a clear answer, but it is a clear answer. You just have to decide which do you want to know. Oh, you want to talk about direct light or returning light? Did that help for you, Malcolm?
Sure. Yes, sir.
You know, when you consider about what animal was created first, and you're talking about direct light and returning light, man is really a mammal, an animal. So
yes.
maybe the first animal that was really created that had higher level thinking ability would be man.
That is very possible. And the other idea that is that there were primates on this earth, this physical world of earth, and that the angels or other entities from other planets who were billions of years in advance of us came down to our earth and changed our DNA. And elevated it so that we became thinking beings.
Yeah, I've read that, and I really kind of go with that theory because of the missing link. But and I also kind of want to say, I don't know if this really applies, but I do know from dealing with the negative system for a long time that anytime you deal with anything other that is higher level than yourself, there's always a price to pay for that.
So when
you decide that you're going to do that, whether it's talk to angels or whatever, astro projection into being to other dimensions, which I've done, you have to realize what price are you willing to pay and give up.
It's a spiritual law. To go higher, you have to lose everything.
Right.
Now that does not apply to the physical world, because the physical world is an illusion. So since what you have in the physical world is illusionary anyway, you don't have to lose it. Although for most people, they don't know that and they do end up losing. But this is part of what we're teaching you in the Sefer Yetzirah. So you don't have to lose in the physical world.
And you don't have to keep up with the Joneses like Abel did.
We agree. But you have to realize that Abel's other name is Jones.
It was a good class.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree.
And I would be interested in learning, I guess, classes on angels. Because, you know, when we go through the gate, to reach the 50th gate to Dina, to the world to come, we will encounter, and what I've studied very little, but what I've studied, we have to encounter these angels, and we have to have the key to unlock the gate. And that being said, we have to know certain things to get through those gates. And I guess that's what my interest is piqued, you know, when we do go on through the next world. And because they just won't let you in. You have to have merit plus code. You know, there's code words. There's, you know, to open, let's just say the key to open the gate.
There are two prerequisites to learning about the angels. One of them is to read a book by Rabbi Aryeh Bar Sadok. It's called Protection from Evil. I've mentioned it a few times in my classes. And you can get it on Amazon it's a paperback for, you know, $10-$15. But when you finish reading it, let me know, and we'll give you the second prerequisite. Actually, you're already involved with the second prerequisite, which is the meditations that come from the exercises in each one of these classes from the Sefer Yetzirah. Because those meditations are developing the strength of mind that's required to defeat entities who might be up there to harm you. So it takes that practice, which I know when you're doing that. And when you finish reading the book, let me know.
Okay.
And when in doubt, say the Shema.
That's the tool.
Brandy, do you have that book?
No, but I think I'm going to get it so you and I can study together.
Okay.
And also, when in doubt, say the Anabakoa.
True.
The Shema creates a protection shield. The Anabakoa draws light that the negative system cannot handle.
Well, which one should you say first? The Anabakoa can get the light and then get the protection shield to surround the light?
Yes.
Okay. So Anabakoa first and then Shema. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
You all have a beautiful afternoon.
Okay.
You know, the storm. Say some prayers for us. We're all protecting for. We're all preparing for the storm.
Yeah. So I make the classes tomorrow. It's supposed to be coming in Friday evening, but I think I'll be around for Thursday. Friday may be a little touch and go. But,
I understand.
Okay.
It's not a problem. I mean, you do what you have to do.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.